The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Tisha B'Av, people coming to learn Torah, they felt like the whole day went by without Torah, learning Torah. We are now repeating Shabbos' daf, yesterday's daf, and this is a perfect time. If you miss Friday, you miss Shabbos, you miss one of these dafim, it doesn't matter. Just continue weiter, go weiter. Wherever the daf is holding today, that's the daf you should be doing. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. Epstein. Le'ilu Nishmas, his wife, Reza Gittel Bas Ze'ev, known as Rita. She was my neighbor, she lived in my building, two floors directly below my apartment. She's a woman who always had a constant smile. No matter when you saw her, she always smiled. She was nifter suddenly. She had the machla, but she got some sort of infection, and she was nifter within a day or two. And Dr. Epstein, who still lives in my building, donated $2,500 worth of Gemaras, Arsu Gemaras, for the Gemara Initiative. If it's not for Sukkah, it'll be for the next Masech or whatever. But we saw a tremendous amount of success with these Gemaras. For $25, you could be koina, you could bring a guy into learning, and we saw there was somebody here that came from London who received the Gemara, and he told me, I don't know why I took the Gemara. I could afford the Gemara. And in fact, since he received the Gemara, he already donated, like, I think it was $2,000 already to MDY, so he could afford it. But the Gemara chafted. Something happened that he saw a free Gemara. People like free stuff. He got the Gemara, and now he's addicted to it. To the point where he went and he asked me if he can meet my wife. I said, okay, it was after davening, so we walked. We went to look for her. She was in the park. We found her. And he said, listen, I got the Gemara. I'm addicted now to the daf. Every single morning he traveled from Yerushalayim to hear the daf at least 4 or 5 times. He came to the Siyum. He says, this has changed my life. He started in Yuma. So anyways, this Gemara thing is a very special thing. It's a big schos. So Reza Gittel Bas Zev should have Aliyas Neshama. There's another sponsor that I forgot to say. Hold on, real quickly, sorry. Oh, here it is. Yosef Ben Sara for Refuah Shleima. Okay. Parnas HaChodesh is by Michael Ben Mela, in memory of his mother, Devar Fega Bas Shmuel, and father-in-law Menachem Mendel Ben Elchanan, and in the schus to make it to Umar Rosh Hashanah this year. So, today's daf is daf Yud. And we're holding in the middle of a sugya. Oh, you know what? Let's do some emails, because on Shabbos we didn't. This is from... I think I have to do this one. Oh, from Aryeh Schlader. Shalom Rebelli. In order to tell you for your shiur and the incredible effort and putting it all together. Someone mentioned there's a screen showing we are up to on daf. That's over here, like on our screen in the Beis Medrash. Any chance of mini version of that on the video where there's room? Anyway, the Clifford's Tower Massacre is fairly well known in the UK. However, there's a community again in Old York. They expelled. I've heard of the Cherem, but no Mekar, and you never heard of one. And he says, in England, the English kinas include a kina for York to Harim. Then he goes on to say, my 3-year-old Shlomo David loves your shir. He lasts about 5 minutes before he wanders off, but joins regularly. Was very upset that I didn't take him to the Siyam for his shir. Regards to Menachem and the other Chevra around Revivim called Tov, Aryeh Schlader, gold is green. Here he is with his adorable kid. So, beautiful. What's noch? Huh? He's living in Reviv. That's what he's saying. He remembers Nachman and all those guys. This one is by Shmuley Hecht. Rebelli, I've been struggling so much, it's too much, with enjoying the sit down in front of the Gemara all my life. Thank you so much for all the work that you put in this shir, and I have a huge schuz in getting Bachrim that struggled with the same struggle that I did before I started with this shir to sign up. We're looking forward to the huge steamer. So he gets Bachrim that are struggling to come. May I respectfully ask, as it's hard to hear you over YouTube. Only my volume is loudest. Okay, we have some audio issues that we are resolving, and hopefully they're resolved. I'm sorry if I'm overstepping my boundaries. Da, da, da. He says he's an American that grew up in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe I have a little bit of chutzpah in me. keep up your amazing work. Shkoyach, good Shabbos, have a meaningful fast. And one more from Avi Stochel. Dear Rebbe Eli Shlita, thank you so much for giving your shir. Rav Nachman Seltzer taught me nigunim for the Pesach Seder when I was in Shana Aleph in OJ. He's trying to say what kind of connection he has to this year. I learned with Ravi Tamar Eliyakim, the one who got 100 on his test, on his Dirshu test, Bechavrusa in Yeshivas Tehila Shlema. And I forgot his name, but one of the other members of the Shia lived in my grandfather, Marty Lerner's Shalom building on Habisar in Ramat Shemesh. And he taught me by Mishmar when I was in high school. Hope I didn't miss anyone. Being a part of Yeshia makes me feel like I'm back in Eretz Yisrael, although I'm in Queens, New York. Yeshia is really perfect for me. It makes me feel right at home. I was never, ever successful in continuing any Daf Yomi regimen for even two shiurim. Baruch Hashem, I cannot have not left your shiur. Chazrin the Daf, imagine that I'm hearing you teach me the Gemara. I never had a shiur when I felt so good and okay with the little bit of battling that comes along with it because I'm now learning a Daf a day. And even the battling is al menas l'kayim is what we are learning. I'm going to attach some thoughts in Sukkah. You can check them out at your leisure. I'm tremendously looking forward to learning through the rest of Shas with you with great appreciation and thanks. Avi is pronounced sto like stove and shell like cello. Sto shell. Givaldik. Mark Ashkenazi asked announce. Tuesday, 2 p.m. in the Five Towns. Lunch and learn with Rebelli. I hope it's enough time for me to make my flight. Okay. I didn't know it's at 2 p.m. I was hoping it's going to be at 1 p.m. Mark, you hear that? Can we just do 1 o'clock? So I make my flight? I don't know what time my flight is. Okay. So Rabbi, he's not on there. Is he on there? Oh yeah, it's weekday in America. 1 p.m. He's not on? He's not on. Today is Daf Yud. So let's go. So the Gemara says, we have four cases that they're not very big chidushim at all. Very easy to figure out yourself. How do you have a case where sukkah al-gabi sukkah, both of them are kosher? So the case would be that the bottom one doesn't have real schach, it's very lousy schach. The upper one has good schach. So therefore, the bottom one is not possible because of a sukkah tachas sukkah, because it only has one schach, the upper one. And that's how the Gemara goes through. Now we're going to do the last two cases. What's the case that the bottom one is kosher, the upper one is pasul? The bottom one has tzilosa meruba mechamasa. Why? So the tachtoina tzilosa meruba mechamasa. The bottom one has perfect schach. And the upper one doesn't have schach. So memelo what? Look, in this picture. Lousy schach for the top guy. Only every other one has a schach, so it's chamos merubim tzilasa. So this guy is pasul. This guy is kosher because it has perfect schach. Ve'el yoyna chamos merubim tzilasa. Ve'kai v'tar v'ayu b'toy chesrim. This is a very interesting halacha. What would happen if this top sukkah was above 20 amos? What would happen? It doesn't have good schach. So why is that a problem? Because since it's above 20 amma, then the schach becomes pasul. And now you're mixing pasul schach with kosher schach, and that's pasul. And what is the case that the upper one is kosher and the bottom one is pasul? That is the classic case of a sukkah, tachas a sukkah. The case is where both of the sukkahs have good schach. So memela, the bottom one, it says in the pasuk you can't have a sukkah on top of a sukkah. That's the pasuk we learned. You can't be under two schachais. So the bottom one is 100% pasul. But the upper one is perfect. What's wrong with the upper one? The upper one is good schach. And it's under 20 amma. Great. And the upper one is within 20. Now what does it mean within 20, Rabbi Isai? So if you look at the picture, they did a great job. 20, where does the 20 start? Since the bottom one is pasul, and I'm using only the upper one, so the upper one is 20 amos, it has its own cheshbon. Its 20 amos starts from its floor. Where is its floor? The top of the bottom one. You don't start the 20 from the bottom down here. You start the 20 from right over here. That's why this is the yellow line over here. You were here yesterday also, right? You weren't? I thought you were going to pull one of those yumashtik on me. I was here for 88 daf. Okay. Sorry. I thought you were here. You are. By the way, Gershon said, I know, that's the other one. Gershon said he was here yesterday. And I want to tell you something that I said yesterday in the Olam like this. I'll repeat it. When I saw Gershon Ben Moshe here yesterday on Shabbos, he was sitting in his corner where he always sits. And that's the corner where he used to sit there during before they moved the equipment upstairs. And they used to do all the videos. Blah, blah, blah. And you look at him, he's not really paying attention this year. Because he can't. He's focusing on the video, and he's doing this and that, and whatever. So I told him, I hope I'm right. I said, from the fact that he came on Shabbos, and there's no video, so that shows that Be'etzem, he wants to learn the Shir, and he really wants to learn Torah. Just he can't. He's in charge of the Tzibur, and because of him, everybody's benefiting from the video. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider the fact that he came to learn Torah, when he could learn Torah, and he was learning. So all those hundreds and hundreds of days that he's been playing on the video, it should be Nechshav Kilu, he learned Torah. There's such a concept. I didn't make up the concept, I got it from the Chafetz Chaim, the Gaon, that if somebody works all day because he has to earn a parnasa, but when he has available time, he goes and he learns, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know, the reason why you didn't learn all day is because you were tired of the parnasa. But when you have to, but when you go home and you watch a movie instead of learning Torah, then it's a farfalin. So all those hours that you work, you don't get tzchar for. But if you learn at the time, then all the hours you work, you get tzchar for as if you learn. That's the Chafetz Chaim, not me. All right, Zog to Gemara. Shita. Bottom line is, there's no big chiddush here. Said the Gemara, Tachtoyin Ekshera, Ve'elyoyin Ha'psula Itzrichlei. The case where the bottom one is kosher, this guy is kosher, because it has perfect tzchach, the upper one doesn't have good enough tzchach, that's a big chiddush. Maybe one day you'll not pay attention to this case and you'll use the schach even though it's above 20. You see this yellow line? It's above the yellow line. And then it's possible schach and you're not going to realize, you say, oh, last year I used it and I was able to use the bottom sukkah. It wasn't a problem. But this year you're going to forget that there's a concept of making sure that it's kosher schach on top. Even the little bit has to be kosher. In other words, it has to be within 20 amas. And if it's above 20 amas, it's puzzle, and that's a problem. You're going to forget about that. We're not concerned. What does it mean, a sukkah on top of a sukkah? What does it mean? Does it mean literally, like this picture right over here, a giant sukkah, or even something less than that? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what it is. No, the whole entire sukkah that you're imagining in your head is a flimsy tefach. Look at this. Nothing. Here's your little sukkah. Sukkah agavi sukkah. This big. What's pshat? Why? Shekei matzinu v'alei tumo tefach. We see the concept of a tefach creates a oil. It's very valuable. This tefach is not a joke. This tefach makes all the difference when it comes to tumo. So therefore, it's going to make a difference when it comes to the sukkah. The what? Let me say about peh. And then we'll see. We actually learned this the other day, but here it is. It's beautiful. There are two halachas in Tumah. Here's the dead person in a garbage bag. Yeah, the mafia did a job on a guy and they put him in a garbage bag, and if the garbage bag is underneath the beam. So, this is what happens. If the beam is more than a tefach, like in this picture, you see there's a lot of room here. So, the Tumah has where to roam around. It doesn't need a breakout. It doesn't feel claustrophobic. When Tumah doesn't feel claustrophobic, it remains in its place, and it's metama everything. It goes underneath the beam, even to over here, and it's metama this kli over here. You see this kli is next to it? Why is this tame? Because the Tumah is in this entire area. What about a kli that's on top of the beam? It's tar. Because the Tumah has where to go, it doesn't break out. But if you take this case, over here, the Tumah is very mad. It has nowhere to go. It's claustrophobic. And when it has less than a tefach, it breaks right through the beam. And it hits the kli on top of the beam and makes the beam tame. And the reverse is true to the kli next to it. The kli next to it does not become tame. Because the Tumah doesn't roam below the beam. The Tumah breaks out and goes upwards. So two halachas are very important. They're two opposites. In this halacha, the tumah stays underneath the entire beam, like an oil, a mace, like the entire room becomes tummy. If there's a mace in this corner, that corner is also tummy. Why? Because the tumah roams within it. But on top of the roof remains tahar. Says the Gemara, so since we see this idea of tefach by tumah, so we see the same idea, tefach by sukkah. The what? That's a different svar. We're going to get there. But this Tana, this Ravuna, this Amora holds one tefach. Why? Because we see by tumah that one tefach is enough. Tefach, tefach, room, tefach, maybe is a tumah. What does maybe mean? That it travels underneath, like this. Maybe. It goes from here to here. Because it travels all underneath the beam. V'chaitzet mipnei ha-tumah, this beam provides a chatzitza, does not allow the tumah to penetrate. Avo pachas mirum tefach, but if it's less than a tefach, like in this picture, loy mevi, so the tumah does not go sideways, v'loy chaitzet, and doesn't provide protection from anything that's on top of the beam. The tumah bursts through the beam, it's called tumah ritzutza, and has nowhere to go, so there's nowhere to go, it literally flies out. And I'll mention this again here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, right in the center of town over here. So there's an island of grass. There's traffic on one side, traffic on the other. And if you look, there's a giant pipe, two pipes this big, maybe 12 inches wide, I don't know. And it goes like this. And the reason is because they found some kvarim underneath. And in order for the tumah to escape the kvarim, they had to create a big pipe. And the tumah escapes through that pipe out. Otherwise, Kaihana would not be able to walk in that area. That's what they say. So, that's the idea. And that's why it had to be a tefach wide, this pipe. It's a very large pipe. You look at me like I'm crazy. You know what I'm talking about, those pipes on the grass? Across the street from the wine store, the flower store, those stores right over there. Look over there in the grass, you'll see. What? A little further down. But that between Yesh and Shafa, like that. Okay. Look over there, you'll see. Okay, fine. But it's not important that halacha. It's just cool that we learned that halacha. But the point is tefach by tumah, tefach over here. Rav Chisda, Rabbi Ravuna Amri Arba. Here, it's a little bit larger the sukkah, a little bit more. Four tefachim. What's the significance of four? Shulamitzino makom chashiv folks marba. When it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, a karmelis, a shusayach, it has to be four tefachim. So a sukkah, in order to be a makam chashuv, has to be four. Okay. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, like what Hillel Abrams was trying to say a second ago, asara. And it actually makes a lot of sense what Shmuel is saying. That's why Hillel is able to come up with it on his own. My time is Shmuel, kechshera kach psula. What makes a sukkah kosher? Ten tfachim. No, I'm serious. It's a good svara. How do you make a sukkah kosher? Ten tefachim, you need a minimum ten tefachim. And you're talking about a sukkah on top of a sukkah. So ten tefachim on top of ten tefachim. Where do you come from? One tefach, four tefachim, says Zillah. Yeah, makes sense. So sherik ha-psula. Machshir ba-sara. Ha-psula ba-sara. Just like to make it kosher, needs ten. So too, to make it a sukkah on top of a sukkah, you need ten. Tenan Rebbe Doimer, im ein diurim bel yoyno ha-tachtonik shera. Rebbe Doimer says, if nobody lives on the top one, the bottom one is kosher. Mayin diurin. What do you mean diurin? Literally, what? You rented it out to somebody? Ilev diurin mamish. Or to diurin kugarmi. Why is it important that people live there or don't live there? That's not something that we care about when it comes to Hilchas Sukkah. It's never something mentioned. Does somebody live there? No. The worst comes to worst. He meant to say is that is it physically appropriate for living or not? Meaning, if you're going to try to live there, are you going to fall right through the schach and break your leg or not? That's all we care about. Not that, are you actually living there? So there's two ways to do it. One is what I just said, that you fall through the schach. The other one is, how tall is it? Is it comfortable to live in? Now, if it doesn't have 10 tefachim, it's not comfortable. It's literally not roi ledira. The Tanakama Sovar, Avabishairuya Ludira Psula. So you're telling me that according to the Tanakama, you don't have to be able to live there. So that doesn't really jive. Kiosar Avdimi Omar, That's not the pshat. It's not that it's 10 tefachim. The pshat is it strong enough? How strong is the schach? The urim means, could you physically live on it? Could you physically make a suuda over there without crashing through the schach? So if it could accept different things, furniture, karim, sasa, it's then great. Then a tachtoinik, if it cannot accept anything, it's very weak. So the tachtoinik shir, then it doesn't pass to the bottom one because you don't have a real sukkah. As long as you can't live on it, then it's not a sukkah, and if it's not a sukkah, the bottom one is kosher. So Rashi goes into an interesting thing here. I don't want to confuse anybody too much. I'm just going to say it. That Shmuel is of the opinion, right? He says this lashon. Why does Shmuel come up with 10 tefachim? Because Shmuel says that the way I make a sukkah kosher is by having 10 tefachim. So in order to make a sukkah pasul, I also need 10 tefachim. In order to have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, I need one sukkah that's 10 tefachim and another one that's 10 tefachim. I see. If you look on the screen, you'll be able to see the pipe that, how did you find that picture? That's amazing. Google is from the top. It's also from the side. Very nice. Very chashuv. What? Very nice, Gershon. Givaldik. So, I see he's paying attention this year. He's paying attention. He's not just paying attention. Okay, so, just Rashi sticks in here, kechsher, kach psulos, so then he goes into the idea of, that if you cannot live on the sukkah, so this kechsher, kach psulos, you have to be able to live on it in order to make it possible. And then what Chachamim say, you don't have to live on it. So if you don't have to live on it, it just goes one step further. If you don't have to be able to live on it, then Chachamim are also going to agree that you don't need 10 tefachim. And if you don't need 10 tefachim, it's a kashan Shmuel. Again, Shmuel says you need 10 tefachim for the top sukkah. Why? Kechsher rakach psula. Whatever makes a sukkah kosher, makes it possible. Then we take it to the next step. Well, it doesn't mean the 10 tefachim sukkah, we're talking about a very strong schach. Okay, but then you also have to use the same svar, kechsher rakach psula. So Shmuel says you need a very strong schach and it's very weak. It's not a pasul sukkah. And Chacham say, no, it could be a very weak sukkah. Oh, it could be a very weak sukkah. So then there's no difference if it's very weak or 9 tefachim. That's the same exact thing. Very weak means it's not a real sukkah. It's not kechsher kach psula. So memela, it could also be kosher when it's 9 tefachim. Well, so you see that somebody argues on Shmuel. Shmuel says you need 10 tefachim. And Chacham say 9 tefachim. Okay, anyway, weiter. Says the Gemara, which would also mean, says Rashi, that less than 10 tefachim is also possible. So it goes like this. There are three categories here. There's the worst of the worst. Red, this is the best of the best. Green, and there's an in-between, nishtahin and nishtaher. That what? If the bottom schach, the bottom sukkah is very, very strong, metal poles, not metal poles, because that's possible for schach. Schach, that's sideways. You have beams that are sideways. You could put 100 pounds on each beam. It's unbelievable. That's terrible. That is a sukkah that's going to make it possible because the schach is so strong, that's for sure a sukkah on top of a sukkah. Then you have a sukkah that the schach is so weak that if you try to put anything on it, you're going to fall into the bottom sukkah. According to everybody, that's not considered a sukkah, and it's not a sukkah on top of a sukkah. And if it's not a sukkah on top of a sukkah, it's kosher. And then you have this in-between one. If you tiptoe and you make sure and you use this part of the schach, not that part of the schach, whatever it is, then you'll be able to get away. It's going to be the worst suda of your life because every second you're thinking that you're going to fall down and break your neck. So that kind of schach, it depends. Then we have a machloikis. You have to walk mamish over here, but not over there. But kitzur, I don't know how it works. That in-between one is machloikis. Fine. Says the Mishnah. The official Mishnah is sponsored by official. Heres aleo sadim bnei achamo oitachteo mipnei haneshe. This, mamish, I get excited when I start reading this Mishnah. Why? Because it's going to bring me to one of my favorite mitzvahs. Somebody ruined it. He said it's not even true. Okay. On Shabbos. He didn't want to really ruin it, but he ruined it. So if a person takes, how do you go from a blanket on top, a sheet, on top of your sukkah to one of my favorite mice? Let's see in a second. Imagine in a second. A sheet is mekabel tuma. And if it's mekabel tumah, we learned on Yud Aleph, tomorrow's daf, that something's mekabel tumah is not good schach. So if you take the sheet and you put it on top as a schach, as to prevent the sun from coming in, or to prevent leaves from falling into your soil, you put it underneath the schach, then it's terrible, it's no good. This sadin, which is mekabel tumah, you put it so the sun shouldn't hit you. You're trying to use it as schach. You're trying to use something that's mekabel tumah as schach, or underneath the schach to catch the falling leaves. Or he had a four-posted bed as so psula. For two different reasons. Now we're going into another halacha. A second ago we're talking about using schach as mekabel tumah. That's problematic. Now we're not talking about mekabel tumah. Now we're talking about what? Oil. Very good. This is a problem of oil. Being inside a tent, inside your sukkah, which is a problem. And this we saw in Nafyud Aleph, if you watched Nafyud Aleph already. Naklita Amita is a two-post one with one post across, and therefore, there's no roof, there's no oil over here, and that's fine. Says the Gemara. What? Who? No, nothing to do with the Shabbos. It says in the Mishnah that you put the sheet there for the falling leaves. That's only because you did it for the falling leaves. Avalina Isaac Shera. But if you put up the sheet for the decorations, it is kosher. And here is the most amazing thing. Why? Because this is the biggest yesoid in Yiddishkeit. One of them. That in Yiddishkeit, it's all in your head. You could take a sheet that's mekabel tumah and say, I'm not using it for schach. I am using it for decoration. And because you said so, it turns into a decoration and it's not going to ruin your schach. But the same sheet in the same spot, but you say, I'm not using it for decoration, I'm using it to catch the leaves, that is posel schach and it's also. Everything in Yiddishkeit, it's all in the head. One guy davens Shemoneh Esrei and he fakes and he goes like this and like this and this. He gets zero or whatever he gets. And the other guy, he has the proper kavana and his yaitza. So here comes this most amazing maisa. When I heard this maisa, I literally got chills in my body and I cried a little bit. It's a very famous story and it's actually a book. It's a book. Somebody just brought me the book. It's called Chalot Baron HaKodesh. I didn't read it, but I gotta read this book. The story goes as follows. This is the time of the Arizal, and supposedly it's a true story. Although Rebbe Kamenetsky doesn't like the story so much. Ruined it. So what happened was, there was a rabbi that gave a speech. And he said that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which was a perfect story yesterday on the Churban HaBayis, tonight, Motzei Tisha B'Av, the rabbi said, look at this, we have the Churban HaBayis, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Klai Yisrael
Kol Halashon.
Make 12 chalos called lechem upon him, and they would give it as a carbon takodesh baruch hu. And it was unbelievable. And today, look where we came. We don't have this carbon. We don't have chalos. There was a shtickel amaritz in the crowd. He heard the rav's drosha, and he got a tremendous chizuk. And he went home and he told his wife, "Listen, we need to start bringing chalos takodesh baruch hu." She said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Listen, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they did 12. We're going to do 12 chalas, and I'm going to bring it to Shul. I'm going to place it by the Aron Kodesh, and I'm going to give it to Hashem." Okay. She's the wife of the Amoritz, no greater Talmud Chacham than he is. She said, "Tremendous." Okay. So she started baking chalas every Friday. So first Friday, he takes the 12 chalas, he goes to the Aron Kodesh, and he says, "Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm here with my carbon. I hope you take my carbon knife." He puts the chalas down. And he goes home. He comes back for Kabbalah Shabbos, and he can't believe his eyes. Chalas are gone. They're gone. Because Baruch Hu took the chalas. He comes home. Mom is jumping from joy. You're not going to believe it. Hashem took our carbon. And so the next week, she made chalas, and he brought it down. And the next week. One week, he comes there with the chalas. And he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's my chalas. Please take my carbon. And there's a tap on his shoulder. Turns around, it's the Rav. He says, "Entschuldigt, what are you doing here?" He says, "I'm bringing my chalas to Hashem." So he says, "Chalas to Hashem? What are you, nuts? crazy. You don't know the halacha. You know that bring a carbon b'zman hazeh to Hashem. What are you doing? Carbon in the weekday in a shul. So I said, what do you mean? I bring it every week and he takes it. He takes it. Sure, he takes it. No, but I come in a couple of Shabbos, they're not here. He says, come to the side, I'll learn a little with you, some hilchas karban mizman hazeh, and we'll see if somebody takes it, if Hashem takes it. So they go to the side, and sure enough, the door opens, and they look, maybe Hashem is coming himself to take the karban, and in comes the gabbai, he goes straight to the Aron Kodesh, and he takes the bag of challis and walks out. This turns out this guy was very poor, this gabbai, and he thought somebody's giving him an adava. This person was devastated. He couldn't believe it. Hashem didn't take all these weeks, Hashem didn't take his challis. Devastated. He went home, he told his wife the terrible news. We're not gonna make challis anymore. The Rav said it's aser. So the story goes that this Rav receives a letter. He receives a letter from the Arizal. And the letter says like this, Sav lebeischa, take care of your, whatever you need to take care of, ki lemachar atameis, you're going to die tomorrow. How dare you, the one person in this world that brought a nachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his carbon, yes, it was a mistake, but he thought it was a carbon and he said it with all his heart and his might, how dare you do that, Hashem? Take away his one nachas, you're going to die. And sure enough, the Rav gave a speech that Shabbos, he went home, and he died. That is the story. The point of the story is, whether it's true or not, they say, okay, the reason why some say, and I had the same question, sort of, I argued with Mecharusa, it was something that was Osir, something that's Osir, does it bring Nachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? That's an argument. If somebody really means something that's aser, but he really means lishma, he thinks is the thing that he's doing is aser, but he thinks he's eating chazer and he thinks it's the biggest mitzvah in the world. Is that a nachas ruach Hashem? That's the question. He thought it's mamish mut, he's not maritz. Rabbi Yehuda Kamenetsky holds it's not. Okay, fine. Regardless, the concept, the idea that a person, obviously we're not going to bring chalas to the kodesh because it's aser, we know it's aser, and we don't want to imitate that guy. But each person in his own way can do something that's mutter, like learning Torah Tisha B'Av night, bring a sacrifice. You go, like, him, these are, who else came from Yerushalayim? Different people from Efrat. That's a sacrifice. It's not comfortable. It's not kishmak. But you come and you do it. You say, Yaakov, this is my carbon. That's a carbon. But anyway, each person in his mind, according to the story, if it's a true story, it's beautiful. Yaakov Baruch Hu, consider this guy's 12 chalas. How much are 12 chalas? The only nachas ruach that he had in that dar. It's unbelievable. Okay. Fine. What? It's a nice story. Do we repeat it? And we have to know that things that are asr are asr. Okay. We can take the musr from it though. Anyways, this idea, and we see it throughout Shas, that you could flip something in your mind. Your kavana can make a carbon puzzle. Your kavana can make schach kosher. It's all in the head. It's negat to every single part of our life. Says the Gemara Pshita, what's the big chiddush? It's not even a chiddush. It's not. It says mefurish in the Mishnah. It doesn't say you put up a sheet. It said you put up a sheet for one reason, to catch the falling leaves. Meaning if you put it for another reason, it's kosher. Says the Gemara, you're right about the same. Who had the end of the But I would thought that maybe even if you put it off to the court, maybe the Mishnah is just saying something that's the regilot. It's very normal to put something up to catch something like this. That's what people do. Why do people put plastics on? They put a sheet from side to side for decor? No, they put a sheet from side to side to catch the rain, to catch this. That's what they do it for. Says Gemara, perhaps I have a raya to this idea. He put a perfect schach up, but he wanted to put the core bikramim u'mizdinim amitzuyarim with colored linen v'talabay goizim, and he put up nuts shkedim afarsikim peaches v'rimoinim and pomegranate parchilei anavim and grapes v'atar shel shibolin and wheat, yenois, bottled wine, shmonim, bottled oil, uslasois, all the stuff that he bring the Beis HaMikdash, he put it up and hung it from the ceiling of the sukkah. Now, by the way, I asked the Olam, nobody's going to get it besides Tomer, because he was here on Shabbos. You're here also, so don't answer. You were here? What's going on here? Why are you guys here twice? Go home, go to sleep. Go on YouTube for Hazara. Okay. Yeah. We have more people here that are twice than are here first time. Fine, anyway. I couldn't believe when I saw this, because in my mind, this Pesach should be a Makel. But this Pesach, the question is, who is he? That's the trick here. That's the riddle. Who is this Pesach? Multiple choice. This Pesach says that in order to put decorations that are okay in the sukkah, it should be a decoration that you put in your house. And decorations that these swingy things that come up from China, especially the ones that are for Christmas and have little yashkis on them, do not put in your sukkah. They're not good for sukkah. That's what he says. Multiple choice. Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Okay, fine. That's who it is. He says, no good. Also, the stopping man, you're not allowed to use, benefit from. No, I'm serious. You go in many sharim, they sell Christmas decorations, and people are buying it. They have no idea that it's, they don't know what Christmas is, Baruch Hashem.
They buy it. They don't know better. They can buy them. You can't buy them.
Right. They don't know better. They can buy them. Rabbi Lewis passes that a Yerushalmi can buy them and hang them up in a sukkah, as long as it's not, what is it called? The nativity, no, they have that whole scene. They have like, nativity scenes. I hope they don't sell that. What? Okay. Anyway, you're not allowed to benefit. So, if you have a tremendous tithe in the middle of Sukkot, you want to grab some grapes off your thing, you have an esrig, you want to chop that esrig, you need another esrig, you cannot use it. It's on your Sukkot finish, you're done. Ad mitzo yom tov achin shachag. You cannot benefit from any of the fruit that's on your Sukkot. Or the decorations that are on your Sukkot. If you made a tnai, hakol lefi tnai, so Rashi points out, hakol lefi tnai, doesn't mean you can make any type of tnai you want. There's one very specific tnai that you can make. And that is, eini boidel mehem. I will not leave these alone. In other words, I am not allowing my decorations to be part of my sukkah and become kaddish to sukkahs during ben hashmashes. If you make that tnai, not a tnai that, hey, I'm boidel from it, but I want to use it whenever I want to use it. That's not going to be a tnai. That's not a good tnai. Because when you read the Gemara, you can think, oh, you can make a tnai. Oh, if I want to use it, I want... No. You have to say specifically, I'm not giving it up during ben hashmashes. So the Gemara says, akoponim, you see from here, that you're putting up these sheets. And it's okay. Says the Gemara, no. Who told you that the sheets look like this? Well, this is not the right picture, this is a better picture. Who told you that we're talking about sheets this way? It says he puts up sheets. Perhaps the sheets are minatzad. Let's see if I have it. Yeah. This way. The sheets are on the side. That's the decor they put, and that's what you're not allowed to take off. But it doesn't mean that you're allowed to put sheets underneath your schach. So we don't have a raya. It's not a stira or anything, but we don't have a raya from the braisa that you're allowed to put sheets underneath the schach. Itmar. Noi sukkah, ei mematim besukkah. So, just in case you weren't here at Daf Yud on Shabbos, and you weren't here in Daf Yud Aleph on Motzei Shabbos, and this is the only Daf you're doing, I have to say this Seder Ayoyim. He's a Rishon. And the Rishon, Seder Ayoyim, says that in all mitzvahs, but he talks about sukkah, he says this is the ikur part of the mitzvah. Remember this for sukkahs. You can make a sukkah in Shalom Yisrael, and you make a sukkah, you sit there, and you put beautiful things in the sukkah, you buy these nice pictures, and that is the ikur mitzvah, he says. That we're medaktik l'noisa, we're medaktik to make it nice, with everything. V'ze ikur b'chol ha-mitzvahs. This is the ikur, she is sameach v'toiv lev. It's the ikur in all mitzvahs, that you should be happy in your mitzvah. So if it's sukkahs, you make a beautiful sukkah, and if it's Shabbos, you buy nice wine, nice flowers, for the whatever it is, anything that makes the mitzvah beautiful and better. If it's sukkahs, you buy a beautiful esrog. All these things. There's an inyan in doing being mechav of the mitzvah, making the mitzvah nicer, as the Gemara says, a keli vanvei. So, talking about the noya sukkah, eimim matim besukkah, these decorations don't make the sukkah smaller. So, if you have a pasul sukkah because it's taller than 20 amo, don't say that I put decorations, and now the decorations are part of the schach, and this part of the schach is lower than 20 in memela, the sukkah is kosher, it's not kosher. Now what about a sukkah that's 10 tefachim tall? A sukkah that's 10 tefachim tall, and I put decorations on the ceiling, and now my sukkah is 9 tefachim tall. I'm prefacing this by the Gemara that we learned, that if you have a sukkah that's 10 tefachim tall, and hutz in yoreh l'mitoichai, parts of the leaves come down, it's a pasul sukkah. Why? Because it's a dira srucha. So what about this sukkah? The Gemara says over here, that eim ematim besukkah doesn't make the sukkah less. Says Rashi, says Taisus, that if you make the sukkah less than 10 tefachim, it's still kosher. Why? It's not a dira srucha. Dira srucha means I'm uncomfortable in there. It's disgusting. It's hitting me in the face. This is beautiful. These are nice decorations. Whatever the svar is, we have to understand it better maybe, but that's what they say. Omar Ravashi, umin hatzad mimatim. And this needs explanation. Maybe that's what the picture was for. Yeah, this is it. Min hatzad, if I have a sukkah that's exactly 7 tefachim wide, and I have sheets that take up a full tefach, let's say, now I don't have 7 tefachim. So you don't have 7 tefachim, I can't put a table in there. I have to have roishiv rubai vishulchanai. I can't fit a table. Can't fit a table, it's not a sukkah. But if it's 9, it's 8 tefachim, and I have to do the limbo, whatever it's called, you know that thing you do on a birthday underneath the roof, and that's the only way I can get into my sukkah, I have to crawl on all four like this, oh, it's a kosher sukkah. I'm not exactly sure why. But as I say to Rashi, says the Gemara, Minyamin abdi the Rav Rashi, it mishalei kitunto b'mayo. Minyamin, the slave, his garment got wet in water. Vishtatcho amtalalto. And he put it on top of the sukkah. Om alei Rav Rashi dalye. Take it off right away. People are going to come by and say, well, look at this. Rav Rashi, the famous Rav Rashi, the one who authored the Gemara, he uses Mekabel Tumah on his sukkah. Says Gemara, everybody could tell that he's just using it for a laundry device just to hang up his clothes, not to use it as schach. Says Gemara, I'm telling you to take it off when it gets dry. Not now. You're right. When it's wet, I'm not worried that people are going to think anything. But when it gets dry, take it off. Itmar. It's over here. That's why. We just turned to Daf Yudam and Beis, sponsored by the MDY Tehillim Group. For all those who need Shiduchim, Refuas, and Yeshuas, please join Tehillim.8mindaf.com. Yeah. We'll do it on YouTube. Itmar! No isuka mufbagim min arba! If the decorations are distant from the schach, four tefachim. How many times have we gone into sukkahs and we see decorations that are four tefachim away from the schach? Happens? No? All the time it happens. Rav Nachman Omar Ksheira. Rav Chisda, Rav Ravuna Amri Psula. The halacha is that decorations that are four tefachim away from the schach are pasul. So if that's the halacha, why do people do it? So one reason is because they're not wide enough. The halacha that makes it pasul is if it's four tefachim by four tefachim wide and four tefachim away from the ceiling. Nevertheless, the Maharil says you should not put any decoration that hangs from the ceiling, and that's why when I grew up, we were never allowed to put decorations hanging from the ceiling. Not like this. This, I guess, they don't hold the Maharil in this picture, and many people don't. The Mishnah Berurah brings him, and he says he shouldn't, but I guess people either don't know about it or don't care about it, and they're not so makbid. No? This is on the side? It's not going through? Uh-huh. It's going on the side over here and the side over here. Seems very makbid. You're right. Pictures, although this picture, the ish to stop it. How's this? Looks a little bit in this. Right here. This for sure you're right is on the side. Okay, good. He did a good job. He's makbid on the Maril. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda, Rav Ravuna, Yiklau, Lebeis, Rish, Gelusa. So let's remember the names. Rav Nachman is the one that says that decorations that are distant from the schach, four tefachim, is kosher. Rav Chisda and Rabbi Ravuna say puzzle. What's the story? Rav Chisda and Rabbi Ravuna say that's puzzle. Iklu lebeis resh gulusa. On Sukkot, everybody went up to see the resh gulus, the head of Klal Yisrael. Agninu Rav Nachman, the one in charge of the resh gulus, who's also the one who said that it's kosher to have decorations that are more than four tefachim distance from the schach, he put them in the sukkah, shunayim, muflagim, and then arba'at tefachim. He kind of wanted to punish them. Maybe. They argue with him. They say that these kinds of decorations are puzzle. So he puts them in a sukkah to sleep with decorations that are distance from the schach, four tefachim. Ishtiku, they didn't say, v'loy omrlei, v'loy mi, they didn't say a word. Omar lehu, aha! Hadavu rabbonim shmatayu. It seems like you took it back. You agree with me. Amrlei, anan, shluchim mitzvah anan. We are performing a mitzvah now. Chaysev a mitzvah, padamena mitzvah. We are coming to see our Rebbe. And if we're coming to see our Rebbe, and this is where he puts us to sleep, that's it. We don't have a choice right now. We can't go somewhere else. And therefore, ptumim sukkah. The fact that you put decorations on the top, okay, so we're sleeping in a puzzle sukkah. There's nothing we can do about it. But we hold that it's puzzle, but we're just potter today. So if you heard Dafyud Aleph, now you understand the Lishna Achrina. This is Shmuel Aleph. You get the joke? Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis. The first Shmuel says, Mutar Lishan Bekila Besukah. Ava Bishiyesh Lagag. Dafyud Aleph is talking about it doesn't have a roof, and it's higher than 10 tefachim. Over here, you're allowed to sleep in a kilo in a sukkah. Even though it has one tefach wide roof, a kilo, what's a kilo? Let's see if we can find it real quickly. It's the two-posted bed. It's going to be the first... No? Okay, whatever. There's so much going on here. Here. It's somewhere in here. Oh, here, I found it. This guy. The two-posted bed. You lie to sleep in that. Provided that it's not 10 tefachim tall. Then we had the Shmuel Beis is that it's not a tefach wide and it's more than 10 tefachim tall. Over here it's tefach wide and it's less than 10 tefachim, and mainly you're allowed to sleep in it. Toshma. If you sleep in a kilo, you're not yotza. So you have to say it's talking about that's above 10. There's a gevaldik picture. Where was it? Oh. Here it is. Love this picture. I don't know why. It's a guy hiding under the bed, schluffing away. So, you're not yoitza. If you've seen this picture, it's a very tall bed. The reason why he's not yoitza is because it's more than 10 tefachim. By the way, talking about oil, talking about this. Let's say it's raining. Are you allowed to open up an umbrella in your sukkah? Is it oil? A weekday. Well, even Shabbos of umbrella is not mukta. It's, we don't use umbrella because of the what? No, because of the, what do you call it? You're in the sukkah. Well, what did he accomplish sleeping on the bed? What did this guy accomplish? What did this guy accomplish? He accomplished everything. He's the yotzei the mitzvah. This is not a oil. And guess what? The Brisker Rav used an umbrella in the sukkah. Umbrella is not oil. So he accomplished that it doesn't rain on him. He's becoming the mitzvah. I thought it's a fascinating thing. Brisker Rav used an umbrella in the sukkah. What? Would you wear a coat in your house? It doesn't mean that you have to do everything. So, huh? I think that's a Geisha thing. I think it's a non-Jewish superstitious thing, yeah. No, because it's a temporary oil. It doesn't do anything. You're not oil kavua. You're an oil kavua. A temporary thing. Let's say some people say a hat is an oil, right? If it's we learned in Shabbos more than a tevach, but it doesn't pass the sukkah. It's a temporary hat oil in a permanent oil. Okay, just throwing it out there. Look it up. I'm not passing. I'm just saying. I read that the Brisker Rav used an umbrella in the sukkah. It might have been even on Shabbos. I don't know. On Shabbos is also. Because of the maskilim, we don't use umbrellas on Shabbos. We're very, very makbid about umbrellas because they used to use umbrellas on Shabbos, so it became a whole thing you can't use. But when we're learning Shabbos, we learn that it's not a real oil. Or it's carrying, okay, yeah. Okay, but now you're inside a sukkah, there's no problem with carrying. Okay, we learned that. Toshma. Oy shapiris agave kinoifes. Kinoifes psula. So here's kinoifes. One of these four-legged guys. Possible. The reason why it's possible is because it's ten tfachim. But that's not true. We learned something, maybe even the opposite. The what? This is an akliten, two posts. The kinoifes is four posts. Peras agave kinoifes, and we're going side by side. They're within the same category, just the different shape beds. One has two, one has four, but they're both the same halacha. That what? Peras agave kinoifes psula. If you put it on top of the four post one, it's possible. Agave nakliten, the two post one kshera. Ubevajli nikliten gevayim and amita asara. It says that the only time it's kosher is if it's not more than 10. Michlal the kinoifes. So within the same thing. Under 10, an akliten is kosher. And under 10, a kinoifes is puzzle. Avabisha and gavoyin asara is puzzle. You just told me it has to be 10. Shari kinoifes a kvi. Kinoifes are different, that they are very permanent. And permanent, a permanent bed creates oil. Vareisuka, gavisuka, the kviya. A sukkah is very permanent. That we said, that it's a temporary within a permanent, but a sukkah is permanent. According to Shmuel, that you need 10, according to Shmuel and Hillel, that you need 10 tfachim. How come by sukkah you need 10 tfachim, something that's kavua, something that's permanent, doesn't require 10. We just said a kinoifes that's kavua, even less than 10. So why is sukkah different? Amri. You know what? It doesn't make sense what you're saying. Hasan lives a sukkah basara. You're talking about hilchas sukkah. A sukkah only becomes a sukkah when it's 10. Hachad shavuya Allah. But over here we're talking about hilchas oil, not hilchas sukkah. Batsam asara, now we have Allah. I can make oil that's less than 10 tfachim. Omer avdachli baravimi, omer shmuel. Hayashem bikila araim. Just a quick halacha. Interesting halacha that's brought down in Rashi here. When you measure, kinoifes, these kind of things. Where are you measuring from? Are you measuring from the floor, from here to here, 10 tefachim, or from the top of the mattress, 10 tefachim? So Rashi over here, the Shulchan Aruch says, you measure from the floor. And Rashi says you measure from the mattress. Why? So they say that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rashi are not arguing. It's just a question, where do the posts start? If the posts begin on the floor, so then you measure from the floor. But if the posts begin from the top over here, then you measure from the top. Omer Rav Tachlifa V'Aravim Omer Shmuel. Halach in the name of Shmuel. And then we're done for tonight. Hayashim Bekila Arim. A person doesn't have pajamas, he's not wearing anything. And he's inside a kila. He's inside one of these. Moitzi Roishoy Chutz La Kila V'Koyer Kriyashma. This is halacha when it comes to Hilchos Kriyashma, that your head cannot see your erva. So you can't be naked. You have to wear clothing. So what if a person is inside a sleeping bag? Or something called a kila? So it depends. If the kila is not a oil, it's not like a whole room, it's more like a sleeping bag. So all you do is poke your head out of the bag. Your body is in the bag. Your head is outside the bag. And mamele, you can say kriyishma. But if this is considered an oil, then it doesn't help if you stick your head out of the oil. If you're in a house and you stick your head out of the house but you're naked, your head goes with its body. Where's your roiv? In the house. So your head is with the body and your body sees the erva and male, it's also say kriyashma. So that's the whole halach here. You stick your head out and you say kriyashma. But we see the opposite. You're not allowed to take out your head. Who's going to give you kriyashma? What do you do? The whole difference in the two is if it's taller than 10 or not. That if it's taller than 10, it's no longer like a beged. Rashi uses the lashon of a beged. You hear? This kila is like an oversized robe. You're wearing clothing and it's okay. But if it's 10 tfachim, nobody wears something that's 10 tfachim, 10 feet away from you, 3 feet away from you. Over there it says in the Braisa, a great example. If you're standing in your house naked, you don't stick your head out the window and say Krishma, it's not going to work. Shmamino. So you see that it has to do with how big this kila is. And then the Gemara says, Allah, interesting Allah. A house is different than a kila. Why? By a kila, by this, we said, since it's a temporary kind of structure, so it depends how tall it is. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's like a beged. But a house, a brick home, can never be a beged. And mainly even less than 10 tefachim, it's considered a house, and it's not going to help you sticking your head out of the window of a house. Even a tiny little house, a midget house, that's, I shouldn't have said that word, in grace. Less than 10 tefachim is not considered, I'm serious, so less than 10 tefachim is no better than a kinoifas. And a kinoifas, as we said, is a kavua. And kavua is not going to help you taking out your head. Have a wonderful day.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.